Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Happy Year of the Snake, everybody. And on this day before the State of the Union address and Marco Rubio's bilingual response, we begin with Karen Tumulty, Washington Post national political correspondent. Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's great to be here.
Will President Obama use the State of the Union address as a progressive bully pulpit tomorrow night?
I think he, you know, all the signals that are coming out of the White House is that this is going to be a very jobs and economy focused State of the Union address. In part, I think, because of some of the blowback that the White House received over the inaugural address, which people did see as, you know, a very forceful advocating of a progressive agenda, not just on, you know, a liberal agenda, not just on economic issues, but also on issues like gay rights.
But even on jobs and the economy, he could use it to push a progressive agenda. For example, I've heard a report that he will propose things to address the increasing lack of social mobility in the United States these days and income equality, which he actually tried to stay away from a lot in his first term. Have you heard anything like that?
You know, again, thematically, that is very likely to be where he's going. But I think what he really wants to do is lay down some hard lines with the Congress, because we have two or three sets of negotiations that are coming up on us, both on, you know, on a lot of fiscal issues. And that, I think, is going to be their top priority.
The response to the State of the Union, of course, will be given tomorrow night by Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, both in English and in Spanish, the first time that will be done. And here is Rubio recently talking about that theme of social mobility.
Americans are struggling to find or keep middle-class jobs for two reasons: because our economy is not creating enough of these jobs, and because too many of our people don't have the education or skills required for the jobs that are being created. A limited government can and must help solve these challenges. We must get the national debt under control. Tax increases will not solve our $16 trillion debt. Only economic growth and a reform of entitlement programs will help control the debt.
So Marco Rubio from the other day, and Karen Tumulty, that passage was really striking to me and in a way represents a lot of what the Republican Party is trying to do since the election in November. And that is start talking about issues like social mobility. Eric Cantor's speech was called making life work,
yes.
Right? Trying to get away from, you know, helping business with trickle down and right into people's kitchens and living rooms. And yet outcome the same exact Republican policies: low taxes, limited government. So what has changed here?
What I think they are trying to do is to there is a sense within the party. We hear it from Eric Cantor and also from people like Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, that they have become too focused on numbers, on deficit numbers, that they really should be sort of relating to people how conservative policies affect their everyday lives. And that is the case they are now trying to make. You know, if that conservative policies can bring you better schools, that conservative policies can bring you a more, you know, flexible use of your work hours. And I think that, you know, they still have not come around to thinking that the problem is their policies themselves. They are still in the phase where they are believing that, you know, the issue here is how they're communicating them.
You have a new article I see about Rubio that asks whether he represents the future of the Republican Party or just another sign of its drift. Why did you frame it that way?
Well, because his rise has been really extraordinary. And this, for instance, the selection of Marco Rubio to give the response on tomorrow night is a real departure, because the Republicans in recent years usually go for their kind of technocratic, wonky types to do that. But the fact that he is being pointed to as, you know, the solution to every single problem that this party has does in fact reflect that he is an extraordinarily gifted politician, but it also reflects, you know, the party's sense that they've got to find an answer.
And your article opens with Rubio's release last week of his Spotify list and his apparent affection for the music of Tupac Shakur. Here he is with Ben Smith of BuzzFeed last week talking about that. Ben, first.
Are there, and I've been taking some questions from Twitter, one of which was whether whether there are lessons for life or politics that you learned from Tupac?
Probably not. I don't listen to music for the politics of it. No, but, you know, I mean, that was a time where, you know, in some ways rappers are like reporters, especially in that era in the 90s. People kind of picked up on it the wrong way. They thought that these were folks that were condoning a certain lifestyle. Maybe there was some of that in there. But mostly they were reporters. And in particular, at that time from the West Coast, it was a lot of reporting about what life was like in South Central.
So Marco Rubio with Ben Smith of BuzzFeed the other day. Karen, why is this creating buzz?
Well, because one thing that Rubio recognizes is that, you know, it's important, and this is something that President Obama understands as well, that not all Americans listen to news and political outlets, that it's important to sort of go to Americans where they are and where they're listening, which is why, you know, he's doing this thing with BuzzFeed and why he's releasing his Spotify list and why last fall he was on TMZ in an ambush interview talking about the Kardashians. And his office, for instance, says that they want to put him on more sports channels. And again, that is a strategy that we have seen President Obama employed a great effect, but it's one that the Republican Party has not used.
And yet Tupac Shakur is somebody who died in 1996. So why is he the great example of Marco Rubio being contemporary?
Well, it is his effort to sort of show that he is, you know, he's in touch with the culture. I mean, that he's sort of literate on hip hop.
And maybe it was less the fact that he was a Tupac fan per se, or in the previous question with Ben talked about why he preferred Tupac to Notorious B.I.G. So there's some, you know, particular cultural literacy, but maybe less that than the fact of what his take in that clip was on urban hip hop, and that it was not that they were promoting a gangster lifestyle, but rather reporting hip hop artists as reporters. That's not something Republicans usually say.
That's right. And we also, another song on that playlist that got a little bit of attention was Pumped Up Kicks, which is a song about school shootings. And again, I think what he is trying to convey here is more of a cultural literacy than a, you know, endorsement.
What about giving the speech in English and Spanish? I mean, the GOP is the party that says English first or English only, at least that everyone allowed to be in this country permanently must know enough English to understand the State of the Union address. Is this a mixed message?
I think it is. You know, I think what the party is trying to do is to get off of messages like that. And and Marco Rubio has been pretty out front on how he believes that most people in the Republican Party are not intolerant, but that the intolerant voices that are out there tend to be Republicans. So I think this is trying to present, you know, quite literally another face of the Republican Party.
Karen Tumulty, national political reporter for The Washington Post, our first guest today. If anyone has any calls that you want to make, anything you want to say and call in about the State of the Union address or the anticipated response tomorrow night, 212-433-WNYC, any of the issues that we're raising here relevant to those, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Back to the president, the lead New York Times story, and forgive me, I haven't seen the Post today, so I don't know if you're on it too, is that he will also call for a big reduction in the U.S. nuclear arsenal, down to about 1,000 deployed warheads. Now, personally, I don't know why any country needs 1,000 nuclear weapons. How many does it take to fight a nuclear war? Probably one. In a minute, we'll play an exchange between Obama's defense secretary nominee, Chuck Hagel, from his confirmation hearings, and Senator Jeff Sessions. Hagel co-authored a report called Global Zero about nuclear weapons a few years ago. And he kind of got called on the carpet for that report by some of the Republicans on the committee. Are you familiar with Global Zero?
Yes, I am, and primarily since the Hagel hearings began. It is a report. One of his co-authors on that report is a former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General James E. Cartwright. And it does, in fact, he is one of the most outspoken advocates for nuclear reductions. And he is also a close advisor to President Obama. But, Global Zero is now pushing back and saying that they are not advocating unilateral disarmament, and that their view is not a fringe view, that it is a mainstream view.
What does zero mean in Global Zero?
Well, it is a report that aims to reduce nuclear weapons, but I don't think it has a target or a unilateral goal of going to zero.
Right. And so now we're going to play this exchange between Hagel and Republican Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. Listen.
I really do feel that I'm uneasy about this vision expressed in that committee report of yours.
Well, let me just briefly come back to what you said, Senator, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to respond. First, my record has always been very clear. Everything I've voted on in my career in the Senate and where I've been, a strong, agile, safe, secure, effective nuclear arsenal for the United States is not debatable. I've voted that way. I believe that. This prospective Secretary of Defense would never do anything or in any way take any action that would minimize or harm or downgrade that reality. But again, I go back to, not to get caught up in this report, this report was about illustrative possibilities. How could things be done? Always bilateral, always verifiable, always negotiable, just as we've always done in all our treaties. So I'll stop there. That's a commitment I make to you. I made it to the president. My record's clear on that.
Thank you. I think we have to move on.
Well, just thank you. And I would just say the vision stated in your Global Zero report, I believe, is likely to create instability rather than confidence and stability, create uncertainty in the world among our allies and our potential adversaries. And I do not believe it would meet the goal that you said, not to weaken our ability. So I'm troubled that I appreciate your comments today, but I am troubled by the language in that report.
Thank you very much, Senator Sessions.
A two-minute excerpt from Chuck Hagel's confirmation hearing between him and Republican Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama on the question of nuclear weapons. And Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. Was what Hagel said there consistent with what you might expect to hear from President Obama in the State of the Union address tomorrow on nuclear weapons? Or was Hagel there being more defensive of a robust nuclear weapons force than the president might be?
You know, I think that it sounded pretty consistent to me. But, this is an issue that President Obama has been interested in a very long time. He worked on these issues when he was in the Senate. And one reason that this issue has popped up is that it has allowed an opportunity to go back to one of the more uncomfortable moments of the presidential campaign when President Obama was picked up on an open microphone telling the then president of Russia, Medvedev, that he was going to have more flexibility after the election on missile defense. So, again, this is an opportunity to revisit that.
How much trouble is the Hagel nomination in, by the way?
It is, yesterday another sort of rock was put on it when Senator Graham said that he was going to put a hold on it until he got more answers on Benghazi. But I still think the betting is that Hagel's going to go through.
And by the way, how much trouble is New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez in? There's all this reporting coming out about how he helped a major donor to keep a private port security contract in the Dominican Republic rather than allow the U.S. government to give some port security machinery to the DR as part of the war on drugs. But this is a little denser than, say, Anthony Weiner's scandal. So what's the best word on how serious it is?
It is increasingly looking like it could be serious. We at the Washington Post, a couple of our really terrific investigative reporters, Jerry Marcon and Carol Linick, had a piece last week where Senator Menendez's office acknowledged that he had also intervened in some Medicare issues for this exact same donor. I mean, there seems, you know, we've got a gradual buildup, and I don't think the issue itself is all that complicated. It's whether, whether a particularly big donor got special favors, and Senator Menendez is still denying that that is the case. But there do seem to be these stories that are coming now with increasing frequency.
And so, who would do what next, other than the press published stories?
I think it's going to be the press publishing stories for a while, and then the question is whether it gets referred to the Ethics Committee.
By the way, while we're in New Jersey, here's a clip of that certain governor of New Jersey, another rising star in the party, along with Marco Rubio, who, after he went on David Letterman last week and joked about his weight, then this doctor, who said she was a Republican, went on television and said she's really concerned about the governor's weight, and especially if he stays in office and does that job and runs for president and his current weight, to which he replied,
"This is just another hack who wants 5 minutes on TV. And it's completely irresponsible, completely irresponsible. My children saw that last night. And she sat there on TV and said, I'm afraid he's going to die in office. And people who have a medical license, who have the privilege of having a medical license, should, in my view, conduct themselves more responsibly than that. If she wants to get on a plane and come here to New Jersey and ask me if she wants to examine me and review my medical history, I'll have a conversation with her about that. Until that time, she should shut up.
Until that time, she should shut up. So is that an example of why Christie was not tapped to give the response to the State of the Union address tomorrow night, or why he should have been?
Well, I think that shut up is probably a phrase that is not going to work that well in the long run, although it is part of his charm and one of the reasons that I think New Jersey residents are very smitten with him. But, you do wonder on health issues whether this is exactly the right example to be leading. I mean, it is also a chance to talk about his own, efforts to become more healthy. I mean, I keep wondering if he's sort of in line to do something like Mike Huckabee did some years back, where he was able to use his own weight struggles and his own weight loss as a way to sort of lead public policy.
Yeah, Huckabee did a Biggest Loser kind of thing and lost 100 pounds and challenged a lot of people to come along with him. Christie refers to there being some kind of a plan, but then he goes on Letterman with donuts and all that stuff. Last thing, happy year of the snake, Karen. And do you know that one of the online petitions to the White House now has the needed 25,000 signatures to garner a response? And it's on the notion that Lunar New Year be made a federal holiday. Any chance?
No, I can't imagine that's going to happen. But these petitions have been sort of fun to read. I mean, some of them are really pretty wacky, and they have gotten a lot of signatures.
And maybe what we learn is how low the threshold is for something being able to get 25,000 online signatures circulating on social media, right?
Yes, that's the internet for you.
Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for The Washington Post. Her article today is on, or that went up yesterday, is a profile of Marco Rubio just before he gives the response to the State of the Union address tomorrow. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, it was 2 years ago today that Hosni Mubarak resigned in Egypt. Is the Mideast changing for the better? Stay with us.